Amen. Amen. A young mother had a baby, and that baby had a hard, hard week. It had been, you know, just one of those croupy weeks, and this baby couldn't sleep at night, and it was hard to sleep in the daytime. Mom was exhausted. And so you know how this goes from when you were a young parent. When your baby sleeps, you sleep. And so finally, at about 8 in the morning, that baby finally tipped over and fell asleep. It was a small apartment, a second floor apartment, up on a very, very busy street. And she just collapsed on the sofa in the living room with the windows wide open. And as she lay there, the traffic picked up in the rush hour of the day. It didn't wake her. It didn't faze her at all. And the fire sirens came, and the ambulances drove past, and the fire trucks with their sirens on, it didn't wake her at all. A group of junior high kids passed as they were on their way down past her apartment place going to school, shouting and yelling at each other. It didn't faze her, didn't wake her at all. But then, one whimper from her baby, boom, and she was up. Even in deep sleep, she had tuned her ears to be listening for the sound of that child. How is it that we listen for that which we have tuned our ears for? When we talk about the Holy Trinity, when we talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit, what we're asking is how do we tune our ears so that we can hear the Holy Spirit? This is what we talk about. This is where we go. And in order to do this today, I want to invite you to come into Scripture with me. I want to invite you to take your Bible out of the pew rack and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. In the New Testament, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. It's found on page 12, or rather 1692 in your Bible. Acts is the story of that early church in its formative years. Now, remember, it was written decades later, and so it was looking back very carefully, and they very precisely chose the stories that they wanted to share, and this was one of the important ones. So, beginning in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were suddenly all together in one place, and a loud sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, just hold that spot. They began to speak. To speak in tongues. I was 11 years old the first time that I ever heard someone speak in tongues. My parents had taken me into Rapid City. We were at a Methodist church there, and we were listening to a missionary. It wasn't a large group of people at all. There were maybe 20, maybe 25 people there. And after the presentation by the missionary, there was a time of prayer. And during that prayer time, somebody off to the right to me all of a sudden started talking and praying in gibberish. I had no idea. My parents had never told me that such a thing existed. Fascinating. Fascinating. This is praying in tongues. This is speaking in tongues. And it would be fascinating to see which of you have this gift. Speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Not everybody has it. It's not one of the gifts that I have. But I never worry about it. I always figure that if the Holy Spirit wants me to have that gift, that I'll get it. And until that point, it's just not a problem. And so I have been in worship where I have seen and I have felt the Holy Spirit at work, but in radically different ways. I have been in that Assembly of God worship where hands are in the air and everybody is talking in tongues and praying in tongues. And it's just this cacophony of sound that fills the room. And you can just feel the presence of the Spirit in that warmth and love as people do that. But then on the opposite end of the spectrum, I have been in the sanctuary with Benedictine monks in the darkness of the morning at 5 and 5:30 in the morning, in the dark stillness as we came into that sanctuary, and there was one candle lit in the center, and those Benedictines began chanting the Psalms. And it was the eeriest, amazing feeling to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in that quiet chant as we sang. And I've been in those youth meetings. I've been in those concerts where, thank heavens, I remember to take my earplugs and out they come and in they go. And that music cranks up. And if you haven't been to a Christian rock concert, oh my gosh, they are so much fun. And just the exuberance and the joy, just the joy of sharing faith, that is rock and roll. And away we go. And the Holy Spirit's in the room. I love it when it says in here, and the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit comes to us in many, many different ways. And so today, I am fully anticipating that probably no one will speak in tongues. Matter of fact, I've never been in a full worship with Methodists where anyone did. But if we were down at the Assembly of God or up at the Pentecostal today, the chances are excellent, because that just happens. Is it that one is right and one is wrong? No, it's how we understand and how we hear. How do we tune our minds? How do we tune our ears to listen for the coming of the Holy Spirit? Now, go back into Scripture with me. I'm going to start at the top of the page on verse 5. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd, it doesn't say how big the crowd, but a crowd came together in bewilderment. Now listen to this. Because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these men who are speaking Galileans? Now drop down with me to verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. They're just drunk. All right, I want you to play with this scripture with me. I've wondered about this scripture for a long, long time. Because on the one hand, in the first paragraph of chapter 2, it says, they spoke in tongues. But then, in the second paragraph, to me, it looks like they were hearing in tongues. Now, here's what I imagine. And you just have to play with this. I can't tell you if I'm right or if I'm wrong, but just let me tell you what I imagine in this. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning when something happened inside of that room where those early disciples were, and they felt the indwelling, that rush of the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages. And they went out somewhere around 9 o'clock, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. They began speaking. Now, I don't picture that those disciples just huddled and cuddled close to each other. I picture that when they went out, they began to break up and to go out. Later in this scripture, it tells us there were about 3,000 people that they brought into faith in that day. There's no way that they could do that together. They had to have been scattered out, all right? So it tells us that they began to do this, and people began to gather in bewilderment, saying, what is that? And so I picture a guy from one country coming out of that house, a guy from another country coming out there, another language there, and all of them heard in their own language. What was that? Is it that someone was speaking to them in their own language, or was it that they were hearing in their own language? Now, I don't know. I don't know. But it makes me wonder, how do we hear God? Are we listening? Are we tuning our ears for the Holy Spirit? How do we hear God now? That statement, they looked at each other and said, what does this mean? And some of them said, they're just drunk. Wait, wait, wait. Why would you say these people are drunk? Would it be because it was just gibberish? Would it be because you couldn't understand them? When I've had contact with people who are very inebriated, I have a horrible time understanding them. Could that have been part of it? All right, so if that was the case, we have people who are speaking in tongues, we have people who are hearing in tongues, and we have people who are not doing either of those. You know, when we read these stories, a lot of times we think that it affects everybody the same. It doesn't. That's not the way that God always moves. And what I know is that God enables us to hear in different ways. And so I think that on that day of Pentecost, there were people who didn't hear anything. I mean, stop and think about this. In Acts chapter 9, the story of Saul being converted to Paul, Saul is on the road to Damascus. He's walking up, and all of a sudden, in a flash of bright light, he's knocked down. And the voice of Jesus comes to him, but what it says is, those who were around him did not hear the voice, they heard thunder. Oh! Even if you and I were standing right next to each other, we might not hear God's voice in the same way. I might hear God's voice and you might not hear it at all. You might hear God's voice and I might not hear it at all. We all hear in different ways. It's not that one is right. It's not that one is wrong. We all hear in different ways. So, we believe in the Holy Trinity. We believe that there is God who is our Creator, Jesus Christ our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who is our guide. Some of us powerfully believe in God. We all believe in the Trinity. We all believe in God, one in three, three in one. But we understand God more powerfully through one of these than the other. There are many of us that would really resonate with that green God, with the God that we find out in nature. How many of us have been out on the trails in the hills, or the power of a sunrise and a sunset? And when I say power, I mean rock you back into your very being. It changes your life. Power. And people who understand God through the creation process, and that includes people. Part of nature is people. And so we see God in the loving kindness through that. Maybe that is how you best understand God. Or maybe you hear God, you understand God through Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. And what this means is that you are listening and watching. You know the scriptures really, really well. And you understand through the Bible, through the prophecies, that you have a deeper understanding of what it means to follow Jesus Christ specifically. What does that mean? How does that work? And so some of us have a very, very red theology. Others have a very blue theology, a Holy Spirit theology. Now, for those who are the Holy Spirit Christians, those blue Christians, they would understand God not so much through Scripture, not so much through the creative power of God out in creation, but rather in direct contact through prayer. And for some of them, it absolutely is speaking in tongues, hearing in tongues. For some of them, it is that direct, heartfelt contact. We all believe in the Trinity. It's just that we believe in it in slightly different ways. And that's not a right thing, a wrong thing, a good thing, a bad thing. It's simply, this is you. How is it that you understand God? Is it primarily down in the green God or over in the red God or the blue God? Or what percentage of combination is it? We all believe in the Trinity, but it's just that we believe in that Trinity in different ways. How is it that you have tuned yourself to hear the Holy Spirit? How is it that you have tuned yourself to hear the Holy Spirit? A lot of times we'll say to God, show me a sign. Help me. Guide me. Where do I go? What do I do? So what I want to invite you to do today is to tune your life to hear the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? For some of us in our Christian world, that means that we will know how to speak in tongues. We will know how to use those. We will know how to be given the gift of prophesying or healing. But there are many who will not. Not everyone has every gift. For others, the gift is going to come out in teaching, speaking, healing through the science arts. It's going to come out in so many different ways. The gifts that you have been wired for, the gifts that you have been given, these are not just human gifts. These are God-given gifts. Some of you are geniuses at math. I am not. That is not my gift. Some of you are geniuses at being mechanics. I am not. That is not one of my gifts. All of these are God-given gifts as we learn how to relate to each other and to the world around us. So, here's what I love to tell people, especially people who are searching for their call in life. Doors. Walk through the door. When God opens a door, your job, your task, is simply to walk through it. When God opens an opportunity for you, walk through the door. Now, don't worry if it is the 27th door down. No. We're not talking about the future. A lot of people get stuck right here and now because their eyes are always on the future. No. If God is going to talk to you, if the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you, that Holy Spirit is going to talk to you now, in the present now. And those opportunities are going to open now. Walk through the door. Once you walk through the door, then God will eventually open another door. Sometimes it's right away. Sometimes it takes years. You just have to have patience. You continue to walk as you believe that Jesus Christ would have you walk. And when that door opens, you walk through that door. You walk through that door, and now there are four or five doors. And you say to yourself, I don't know, how do I choose? Well, it's prayer. And it's talking with other people, and it's getting advice, and it's seeking wisdom. And then you walk through the door, and oh my gosh, you walked through the wrong door. How many of you were so excited about that job? Yeah, that job that you had been so longing for, and you get into the first week or the first month of that job, and you discovered it was a train wreck. Oh my gosh, it was absolutely the wrong thing to do. Well, thank heavens you walked through that door. How else would you have known it was the wrong place for you to be? Sometimes we follow God's will by walking through the wrong doors and walking back out of them again. Searching for that right door. Walk through the door. And what you need to know is that no matter what door you choose, God is already waiting for you on the next side. The Holy Spirit already knows what's going on. Just walk through the door. Just tune yourself to listen for the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is what it's about. This is who we are. Listen. Follow. Listen. Follow. Like a mother asleep on the couch who cannot hear fire sirens and junior high kids walking past her window, but she hears the whisper of her baby. This is what we do, is we tune ourselves. What does it mean to be looking and watching for God moving in our midst? We live, we communicate, we are present with each other, walking with God, in order to listen in each of our own unique ways. We listen for what God has to say. I was at a camp. I was in my teenage years, and it was so difficult to see my friends having these powerful, powerful spiritual moments, and I wasn't having it. And I thought, what am I doing wrong? What is it that I'm not understanding? And it was in that time that I came to realize that there's not a pressure on this. What I came to realize is that God was going to speak to me when God was going to speak to me. And God was going to speak to me how God was going to speak to me. And God was not going to speak to me like He spoke to my friend or my friend or my friend or my friend. No. God is going to speak to me. God is going to speak to you. In God's good time and in the way that you can understand. So now, focus your life. Make sure that you are living in the way that God would have you live, being the way that God would have you be, and listening the way that God would have you listen. In Jesus' name, amen.